everyone. Welcome to another podcast of Here's What I Think. Two Anabaptist educators, pastors, most importantly, followers of Jesus in conversation. My name is Jeremy Miller.
And I'm Matt Showalter. Jeremy, I was reading something the other day and online, a posting of someone who was kind of stuck at home and expressing some angst on Facebook, as sometimes we're prone to do.
A lot of that going around.
And they were lamenting the fact that, and I could understand their lament to a certain degree. I mean, they were lamenting the fact that they couldn't get together as their church. They loved their church. And they were lamenting the fact that on Sunday they would not be able to get together. And they made a comment that I just thought, well, wait a second here. They said, it's hard to believe that something as small as a virus was able to shut down the church. And I thought, well, okay, I can, on one side, really, I'm glad for the fact that they want to get together with their church. But on the other hand, I found myself getting a little defensive. Like, wait a second, is the church really shut down? And so, I don't know, Jeremy, what do you think about that statement? When we don't gather together as the body of Christ on a Sunday morning in a building somewhere, is it fair to say that the church has been shut down?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I probably would answer that two different ways, yes and no. No, because we still are part of God's kingdom and his people. But there is a sense in which if that body never gathers, then it ceases to actually fill the calling that it has or fulfill the purpose for which it's been given.
I guess that kind of leads into what we're going to be talking about here in the next, probably over the next number of episodes here on this podcast. And that's sort of this idea of what exactly is this church that we talk about. We talk about the church doing this, the church doing that. We are the church. We go to church. We do all these things. But what, in fact, is this thing that we call the church? So we're going to be kind of talking about that today in terms more of purpose. Like, what is this church and what's its purpose? And then over the next number of weeks, we're going to look at different elements of the church. So here in our North American context, there's a pretty standard set of things that we normally do when we get together as, quote, the church. Things like, you know, we'll take a tithe, or we'll have a time of singing together in worship, or we'll hear a sermon. And so we're going to kind of get into some of these different elements that we do and look at why we do them, and are they important, are they not important, what's the big deal with these different elements. So we're going to be taking different elements of what it means to be the church over the next number of weeks on this podcast. But for today, at least, we're going to talk more about sort of purpose. What is the purpose of this thing that we call the church? So why, Jeremy, would you say that it's important that sort of the gathering of Christians is an important element of what it means to be the church?
Well, one, theologically and biblically, the word for church in Scripture is ecclesia. That is the word that's used throughout the New Testament to describe God's people. And ecclesia wasn't actually a Christian word. Mm-hmm. It was a word that denoted the gathering of a civic body, right? So if a town needed to make a decision, they would hold an ecclesia, and the citizens of the town would gather, and they would make decisions about the future and the well-being of that community. Well, the church understood itself and understands itself now as God's kingdom present on earth, and it is an alternative society. So when we gather, we are a gathering of people gathered to worship, but also to make decisions as an alternative society within this culture, right? We are our own ecclesia. We are our own called out people, called out to be our own community
Yeah, it is interesting to note this. The whole term ecclesia is a borrowed term from sort of this gathering, but it was a gathering with a purpose.
Right.
It wasn't just like, hey, let's get together for a party on Friday night. It was, no, we're gathering for a specific purpose. There's a reason we're all together here. And so the authors of the New Testament sort of used this term to describe what they saw as, yes, we are also a gathering of people who have gathered here with a purpose, and that purpose is to be kingdom of God, the gathered body of Jesus here on earth, now that Jesus has sort of, he's ascended into heaven, and now we are his body.
Yeah. And I mean, let's talk about that whole idea of, let's flesh out the whole idea of purpose a little bit more. Because I think what most contemporary Christians understand the church to be, and in most ways, rightly so, is a people of worship, right? So we get together to sing, to pray, to receive teaching, and all of that, to worship our Maker. And that is really true.
Yeah, yeah.
But it goes beyond that. I mean, when you read the accounts of the New Testament church, they are a community of people figuring out not just how to worship in the traditional sense of the way we think about worship, but how also to worship God as an alternative community, which is why Paul gives instructions about lawsuits amongst believers, why Jesus talks about how we treat each other, because he understood that his people are an actual community, an actual alternative community to the culture in which they're placed. And I think for many people, that understanding of the church is lost or not comprehended very well at all. That what we do as a church goes way beyond the songs we sing, the prayers we pray, the sermons we hear, the tithes we offer.
Which is, that's a great point, Jeremy, because when you read like Paul's epistles, which are these letters to churches, right?
Right.
There is very little. I mean, there's a little, there is some, granted.
Yeah.
But there's very little that he actually says about, okay, now when you get together, here's how you do it. Now, granted, 1 Corinthians, there's lots of places. There are places where he addresses what you do when you get together, but that's only a small minority of all these other admonitions that he has as far as how you are to be as the church.
That's right. And I think that's why so many people are disillusioned with church, in quotation marks, is because we have so relegated the church to the sidelines. I mean, the real idea that we are an alternative community, that doesn't actually make sense to most people. Mm-hmm. Like, theoretically, it makes sense. Like, we are some weird nebulous collection. But in real terms, like, you and I are in a real community. I don't know that many contemporary Christians, at least in our context, truly understand the communal nature of the church as described in the New Testament.
Yeah, it's we feel good if we have been able to drag ourselves out of bed and take a couple hours on Sunday morning to sort of be in this thing that we call the church, and then we've done our duty or something. But man, the New Testament vision for the church isn't, you know, an hour or two on Sunday morning. It's a whole life that is a part of this body, this kingdom that, I mean, Sunday morning is an expression of that, absolutely, but a very minor expression of really.
Matt, take, for example, all the New Testament admonitions to tolerate one another or to forgive one another.
You're not just tolerating them for an hour on Sunday morning, right?
If I'm only seeing you for an hour on Sunday morning, I mean, frankly, tolerating you is not that difficult.
I'd have to be really bad to not be able to tolerate you.
I mean, you'd
hour,
have to
right?
be a crazy maniac for me to actually live into those verses. But if, on the other hand, we are actually involved in one another's lives, and I have you, like, I'm involved in your life, not necessarily even because you're a friend and I like you as somebody, but because you're in my church, and now I have to figure out how to put up with you.
Mm-hmm.
I have to figure out how to tolerate your quirks, your idiosyncrasies, and then you do stuff that hurts me, and I have to figure out how to forgive you. In a lot of churches, when it gets to that point, people check out.
Yeah.
They're like, I can't stand that church. I mean, I see what that person does, and I see what this is. And it's like, wait a minute, but that's precisely how God actually begins to change and shape our lives when we when we choose to commit to a community that we're actually involved in.
So we're involved in something that's bigger than just us.
Right.
And I think that's something that especially in our day and age is an element that we really, is a vision for the church that we have to recapture.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I'm sometimes distraught with how much we have, and this is not just sort of in with Christians, but society as a general rule, we've relegated things of spirituality, things of you know, religion, religious belief, these things, we've relegated them to sort of personal decisions, like what is good for you. That's good. I'm glad that, you know, you are the way you are, but, you know, I believe this over here, and let's just be friends.
Yeah.
And we've personalized all this stuff to the point where, you know, even in our Christian lingo, we talk about, you know, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is not a bad thing. I mean, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is, I it's a very good thing. But I also think we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is lived out with a community of people as well.
Yes.
And you know, the New Testament, when you read it, really focuses very little on the relationship that I have with Jesus, and it focuses a lot more on the relationship that I, along with Jeremy, along with these other people that may be part of my church, that we have in relationship with Jesus.
Yeah,
and that's the piece that I think gets so lost when we personalize everything.
You're hitting on one of the core problems, I think, in contemporary church culture, and that is, we've not only made our relationship with God personal, we've made it individualistic. And I'm convinced that our relationship with God is personal. I mean, it's intimate. There's an intimacy there. God wants to commune with us at a heart level, individually. He's our Father. There's stuff He's doing in our soul. He's, you know, just, it's very personal.
There are times when I pray that I don't want anyone to see
That's right. Like, but our faith is not, while it is personal, it is not individualistic.
Mm-hmm.
It is a communal faith. I mean, I feel it, and Scripture talks about this. When I've messed up with my children, if I come to God in prayer, my heart is like, I can't really pray because my relationships aren't in line. And I know that with God. It's like I can't compartmentalize my walk with God and a willingness to mistreat my own children.
Yeah.
There's a hindrance there. For right reason.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith is a communal faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's personal.
Yeah.
But it's not individualistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that individualism that we have sort of latched onto in terms of this is about me and my relationship with God is something that, well, I think it's reflected then in often how we do view the gathered body of believers. So Sunday morning becomes a time when really I just want to be entertained so that my relationship with Jesus can be good. I want the preacher to tell a couple of nice little stories that make me chuckle and think so that I am edified.
Right.
And then we leave maybe feeling edified because, yeah, the preacher's sermon was nice and the band sounded great. And, you know, but really that purpose of the time that you were together wasn't necessarily just for my relationship with Jesus.
No.
It was for our relationship with
Jesus.
That's
right. And that's right. It's like we ask the wrong questions. It's, we're asking, did I feel this or did I get this or did I, you know, like that? And the questions after a gathering ought more to be, was God honored by this?
Mm-hmm.
And was I able to serve my brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Because we're a community, and to have it all be focused on us and what we get out of it misses the point.
Yeah, I kind of had some of those feelings the first time that our church got together during this corona shutdown, when we decided the way that our church decided to do it was to have just one massive Zoom call. And I mean, we had, what, a couple of days to prepare for this thing. And it's like, well, what do we do? Let's just all get on Zoom, right? And I honestly, after that first, now, granted, you know, it's been, what, over a month now, and I'm getting more and more tired of Zoom calls.
Yeah.
But that first Zoom call, when we were not able to sort of gather at the normal place where we would always gather and go through, I felt edified and built up and encouraged in ways that I hadn't felt on a Sunday morning before, just having been able to sit at home and really interact with people in kind of some significant ways. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I would contend that that was the church. Uh-huh. And that was the church gathered, even if we were, quote, shut down.
That makes a great point, Matt. I think one of the other things that at least trips my trigger is when I hear people say, well, I had church with a few buddies, you know, wherever, at the restaurant or at the coffee shop. You know, that's my church. And I'm thinking, but that's not how the church is described in the New Testament. And that's a conversation probably for another day down the road. And that's
well,
fine.
But that gets back to what you were saying earlier, though. If church is only those people that you decide to invite in, then it's a meeting of friends, which isn't a bad thing.
No, that's a great thing.
But at the same time,
don't call it church.
But don't call it church, because it's clear. Like, read 1 Corinthians. Like, the church in Corinth that Paul is writing to, they weren't a gathering of buddies. Like, they were a gathering of people that had some serious issues with each other, both personal issues and communal issues. Yeah. My word, if you don't realize that, read 1 Corinthians again. They got some serious issues.
At one time when the church I was pastoring was going through a pretty difficult stretch, I found myself reading 1 Corinthians and thinking to myself, okay, we are not as bad as this.
At least we're not at this level yet, right?
Like, the First Corinthian church, Paul seemed to have hope for them. I think we're good. So, well, anyway, Matt, I think that's a good place to stop today.
Sure. But, no, for this morning at least, or for today, the purpose, I think, is what we wanted to hit on, and just remind you of the fact that I think we're going to just kind of take different elements over there. So we're going to be talking about the church quite a bit here the next number of weeks on this podcast. And it's going to be fun to be a part of this this discussion here, Jeremy. So here's what I think for today. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. We'll talk to you next time.